this general age group.
By the way, I'm not sure everyone meets a minimum age, but we won't do any card check. So be at peace. If you're below the minimum age, just be at peace. Eventually, you'll qualify. And then the matter came up, two things came up, actually, that to open it up for us to come together informally for about an hour, just to have an initial touch, a fellowship along this line. And then the local brothers will implement this if the Lord is leading in this direction. But I mentioned to the brothers that for a period of time in Southern California, we used the En Gedi camp to have age-specific, informal perfecting conferences. And I was there for the first 50 to infinity. And once we all adjusted to being together with our age group and acknowledging that we are in this situation, it was a very precious, endearing, cherishing time for saints to receive fellowship particularly suited to their human and spiritual situation. And it may be that the brothers in Northern California may have the leading to suggest a weekend we go together somewhere and we just be together for meetings and then informal contact. We'll just have to see if the Lord will lead in that direction. The church, in relation to Christ, is the body. And in the body, there's really no such thing as any distinction, not age, not race, not nationality. But to the Father, the church is the house of God, the family of God. And in the family, there are saints of all ages. Now, I don't know how you feel, and I don't want to probe how you feel, but I myself have had feelings about an unnecessary byproduct of the needed concentration on young adults for the future.
Yeah.
I believe we're all for this. We're for the future of the Lord's recovery. But the collateral damage of that could be in the feeling of some, I guess we're just over the hill. And I don't know about the feeling about over the hill. I don't know what hill they're talking about. I haven't seen any hill.
A hill that's hard for me to get over.
Well, you got up. That's a good start.
To stabilize me.
Okay. And so we won't decide this now. It'll be decided by the Lord's leading with the brothers. Amen. If it would be profitable for us sometime in 2014 to spend 48 hours in the same place with question and response, with just interaction, with mutual encouragement. Maybe I'll just share a few things, not randomly, but this is not a message, and it's not that structured a fellowship. And the first thing I would try to make clear is the difference between transformation and maturation. They're not absolutely separate, but they are distinct stages of the growth in life. And maybe it's best that we use something we're familiar with. That is Jacob's whole experience. And there's one aspect of Jacob's experience that we're just going to have to accept the truth concerning it. It may remove a little false comfort we had. But I never believe in comforting falsely. It has to be genuine.
Amen.
Okay, Jacob was very aggressive, and his mother made him even more aggressive to get the birthright and to get the blessing. And we all know he had the dream. Fell in love with Rachel, spent 20 years under Laban. Okay, you check the outline of the life study of Genesis. In those 20 years, there was no transformation. Okay? You may say, well, he suffered. Look at his family situation. Loved one woman, gets another woman first, has to put in time to get the one he loves, and then the children and Laban and all of that. That's true. I didn't like it when I heard it because I thought the things I'm going through, at least they're transforming me. And now I realize that's the period of being dealt with.
Amen.
Brother Nee calls them fragmentary dealings. Okay, we have to accept that a lifetime of misery doesn't equal transformation. Otherwise, the whole human race would be transformed. Yeah. Especially certain countries where there's much hardship. So, we're not dealing with discrete numbers. We're dealing with stages. We have all passed through being dealt with. We should not define our having been dealt with as transformation. That is preliminary. No matter how long we have been dealt with, the stage of fragmentary dealings is really preparatory. The Lord is shepherding, the Lord is gaining something, but he's not transformed. Okay, we're just presenting the paradigm. So we are clear on how to focus on the stage of maturation. Then Jacob left to return to his homeland. And on the way, he was broken. He was broken. And he was in a situation where he fully exercised his natural strength to the uttermost. And then, at the point where he was going to be victorious, God touched him. Now, I hope you can just follow this without being subjective and introspective. If there is no breakthrough, the growth in life stops at that point, not permanently. There's no breakthrough. Because when Jacob was broken, that immediately opened up the stage of transformation. And what happens, and I don't know what metaphor to use, so I'll use this. When the Lord has a breakthrough, the balance inwardly in our being tips decisively in favor of the Lord. You just sense it's not over yet, but there has been a decisive turn. And then transformation follows. And so transformation means Jacob and all of us are being changed by the divine life in our natural life. And it may be that some of us in our spiritual aspiration, knowing the kingdom truth, may be holding out for enough transformation to make it beyond outer darkness into the realm of glory somewhere. I may have a remote outpost in the Aleutian Islands, but I'm there, okay? But the goal of God's organic salvation is not transformation. One may be transformed, but not mature. That is why Hebrews 6:1 talks about, let us be brought on to maturity. Now, with Jacob's whole life, there is a cycle of process and crisis. Process and crisis. The process is when things are more or less, I wouldn't say routine, but they're kind of ordinary, day by day, little by little. But there has to be crises. Jacob, there's no sign that Jacob prayed for them. But God knows there have to be the turning points. There have to be the crises. So Jacob is now being matured, and God brings him to Bethel the second time in chapter 35. His name has been changed. He now knows the building. He knows God as the all-sufficient God. He pours out a drink offering. He sets up an altar to the God of the house of God. At this stage, Jacob is conscious of something corporate. It's not a doctrine. He is aware that he is part of the house of God. And he experiences God in another way. The altars he had built prior to that testified of his individual experience. Now he's experiencing God as the God of the house with the inexhaustible supply. And he will need that because as he's journeying, Rachel dies. Rachel dies. And we don't agree for the enemy to instill fear in us, but anything happens and anything can happen. And this, to me, is one of the most precious portions of Jacob's life recorded in Genesis. Okay? Rachel was the love of his life, his natural choice. Now she's in childbirth. The midwife comforts her, you will have this son. And Rachel knows, yes, but at the cost of my life. So she is dying, and Jacob is there. So when the child is born, she names him Benoni, son of sorrow, as a testimony of her sorrow in giving him birth. Jacob immediately intervenes and changes the name to Benoni, son of the right hand. Only a transformed person can respond to a loss like that. It's a life response. So when she passes away, he sets up a pillar and continues his journey. And at this stage, the process of maturation begins. Transformation is being changed. You are changed in your natural life. Your soul is expressing Christ from glory to glory. Maturation is being filled with the life that has transformed you. And we know from the connection between Jacob and Joseph that Joseph represents the reigning aspect of a mature life. So even after the loss of Rachel, not immediately, because these things are measured out, and I don't know what you're thinking, but there's no maturation without the crisis. human life has crises. It's just part of our course. But eventually, we know, he lost Joseph in the sense of being separated from him. And I'd like to call your attention to one aspect of this. And it's not the cruelty, the heartlessness of the other sons. But they presented to their father a blood-soaked garment and asked him to infer what happened. Do you recognize this garment? Then he concluded, Joseph has been slain, a wild beast has devoured him. And so his grief is inconsolable. And the sign of his lack of maturity was his preferential love for one of his sons. And that preferential love was tied to Rachel. So one may be transformed, but if one lacks maturity, then one's love is not impartial. It's not the same love for all. There's a preferential element due to some natural factor. So we know that Joseph was sold into slavery and was with Potiphar, then he's in prison. This is what I think was going on in Jacob. After the shock, the death experience, the shock, the grief. Now he's in a very quiet stage outwardly. And two things are happening in him, which enables him to be mature. And Brother Lee uses the expression, he's an open jar. Amen. Now his being is fully open. Okay? Fully open.
Wow.
Every part of his being. And the Lord is just constantly filling him through the dispensing. But there's a very human aspect to this. And I do know, definitely, experientially, there are experiences like this. There was never any closure. Jacob is thinking, they never found the body. I can't go to his grave and weep there. The Lord allowed there to be this uncertainty about it. So every time that Jacob even thought about Joseph, there was a pang that just opened his being more and more. Joseph. What happened to Joseph? So this is going on inside of Jacob for years. Only when he reaches maturity, that is, he's filled to overflowing. Only then will Joseph be released from prison to reign. So we need to realize that when we're transformed, there is a considerable expression of the glorious image of Christ from 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. But there's no exercise of the kingdom. There's no dominion. There's no reigning ability. There's no capacity to decisively deal with the enemy. This requires the maturation. So at the time, and this is amazing, we can be in a situation so long. Let's look at it from Joseph's side. He interprets the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. And then he knows what's going to happen to the baker, so he says to the cupbearer, put in a word for me with Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh I'm here, and I interpreted the dream, and we know what happened. He forgot. This indicates Joseph wants out of there. It also indicates God is saying, Not yet. Not yet. And neither Jacob nor Joseph can do anything outward. You can't change the situation. You can't resolve it. The only thing you can do is open to God. That's all. You're beyond any method, any traditional thing. You can only open to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
But when God gains what he wants, he can change the whole situation in a day. In a day. You think this will never end. And you have no sign that it will ever end. But suddenly, Pharaoh has the dream. The cupbearer remembers. Pharaoh says, go get Joseph. Joseph interprets a dream. And then he keeps on speaking. What you need to do is set aside grain in the years of plenty and then appoint someone over it for the distribution. Pharaoh says, good idea. You're the man. You're the king. Okay. How do we know that Jacob has reached maturity? If he had remained lacking in maturity when he received the report that Joseph was alive, his reaction would have been immature. He might have been kind of hysterical with joy, beside himself, giddy. Mm-hmm. Or he might have turned on the other sons. What did you do? What did you do to your brother and to your father? What kind of sons are you? This isn't over. Okay, this isn't over. I'll get back with you. I want to get reconciled with Joseph, but you just fear and tremble. There's nothing of that. And we're told that his heart was numb. It was numb. In other words, in the natural feeling. And he just said that Joseph is alive. I will go see him before I die. Then, when the two of them meet, it's a beautiful scene. And they both weep. These are the tears of a mature God man. And then the other sign of Jacob's maturity is all he can do now is bless. That's all. No more grasping. And please remember that Joseph's function is an extension of Jacob. This is one person. This is one mature person. So when Joseph brings his father before Pharaoh, it's as if, let's just say today, if such a person could be brought into the Oval Office for an audience with the President of the United States, and then he says, Mr. President, I bless you, I bless your family, I bless the administration, I bless the United States of America. And then the president asks, how old are you? I'm pretty old, few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage. And then, okay, the chief of staff comes, it's time to go, I bless you. That's the maturity, the overflowing life. The other aspect, along the same line, and for some reason, I want to emphasize this, because if there are some unresolved matters along the line that I will refer to, you can't grow to maturity until you let the Spirit, through the mending ministry, resolve them. Okay, now we have Joseph, the reigning aspect of a mature life. The brothers come. He knows, he recognizes them. They don't recognize him. Okay, we know the details. He avoids two extremes, neither of which is easy. One is he doesn't get all sentimental and say, I'm Joseph. I love you, man. I just missed you so much. He's not responding. Although his feeling is so deep, he has to leave the scene
right.
to weep in private and then wipe his face. But he is reigning there. He does not relate to them according to natural affection. The other extreme he avoids is he doesn't say, payback time. Payback time. I remember you put me in the pit. I was crying there, and you sat around the pit having your Big Macs while I was crying there. Then you sold me into slavery. I've been waiting for the time for my dreams to be fulfilled. I am ruling here, and you've got nothing to say. You think it's easy to have that reaction? So eventually, this happened twice when he made himself known to them. And he could say to them, you did not send me here. You did not send me here. God sent me here.
Amen.
Now, if we who are not novices in human life or in the church life, we've been through all manner of things in our human life and in our church life. If we still have burning emotion in us toward persons that inflicted certain pain on us, we're not yet mature. That part of our being has been held. Now, a little insertion. Early in my married life, when my wife would get, I would say, hysterical under certain times, that's what really scared me. I don't know what to do. Eventually, I came to understand that what really bothered me is when she got historical. Not hysterical. And that is the remembrance of all the things. And then stringing them together. They may span 20 years, stringing them together. And then after she strings them together, she says, you always do that. Well, what is in you comes out spontaneously in certain environments. It's too quick. The reaction is too quick. So for him to say, you did not send me here, he learned that lesson in prison. He cannot reign until he realizes that. God sent me here to preserve life. He has no need to forgive his brothers because, according to his feeling, he was never offended by them. He has no need to forgive them. You have a need to forgive when you feel you've been offended or hurt. Then after Jacob died, the brothers are still worried. They said, oh, when our father was here, Joseph, he was kind. So then they said, you know, our father, before he died, he said that you should be good to us. Joseph was grieved. He said, in effect, don't worry. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. One reason. Saints our age and older have very little joy. They persist. They endure. They're long-suffering. They're captured by the vision. They're bound by their consecration. But they don't have very much joy. Is because they're still filled with accumulated feelings related to what has happened to them. And the soul is the organ of enjoyment. And when the soul has deep troubles like this, it can't function. We can experience the Lord, we don't enjoy the Lord. But, I refer to Brother Nee again, how his soul suffered. When his wife died, while he was in prison, he asked for a reprieve to attend her funeral or her cremation. He was so sorrowful. And they were so hard, they wouldn't let him go. Well, what kind of loss is this? But for him to say at the end, I have maintained my joy, that means nothing is filling his soul other than the triune God
Amen.
Himself.
Amen.
So this is the picture. I find it very helpful to see, okay, there are the fragmentary dealings. That's Brother Nee's term. Then there are the decisive, critical dealings. Then there are the supplementary dealings. This is what's going on outwardly. But inwardly, once transformation has significantly progressed, transformation shifts now to maturation. And maturation is being filled in all of your inward parts.
Amen. Okay?
I dare not say, and I do not say, I am completely filled with God. Because that's all it will take is something to happen tomorrow, and I have a reaction that shows me not that part. Not that part. Why do you have that feeling way out of proportion to what happened? You don't have a feeling in proportion to what happened. It is a volcanic eruption that is drawing upon accumulated feeling. So here I need to mention something, and then I don't know where we go after this. Maybe you'll have some questions for response, or maybe we just don't need too much more. I stand by the word that to grow to maturity is normal. It's normal. And we use human life as the illustration. We just go from stage to stage. But in the divine life, it's not that simple. And I have to tell you, it's not that simple. And why it's not that simple, and why we need mending, all of us. First of all, there is an enemy that doesn't want to see a full-grown man manifested on the earth. And he will target the lovers and seekers of the Lord more than anyone else. To damage them, to frustrate them, to wound them. And there are various sides to this. But here is the general situation, okay, recovery-wide. We know from the book, The Experience of Life, there are four stages. The first is regeneration and clearing the past. The second is consecration, dealing with sin, the world, and the conscience. Knowing God's will, obeying the teaching of the anointing. Almost everything in the first two stages is outward. Then there's a major turn to the third stage. And I would say this is just a rough estimate, conservative estimate, for everyone who has broken through fully in the third stage, there are 50 who are stuck.
Oh, wow.
Who are stuck. Largely, I believe, because of a lack of shepherding. A lack of shepherding. By those that have passed through, that can understand where you are and gently shepherd you through all of these things. The fourth stage, well, the third stage, dealing with the flesh, dealing with the self, dealing with the natural constitution, dealing with the spirit, accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit and being filled in the Spirit. That's the third stage. In this stage, we realize all problems are inward. They're inward. They're not things. They're not other persons. They're not situations. It's my flesh. It's myself. I am the problem to myself, to my wife, to my children, to everybody. I am the problem. Then is the natural constitution. And this is the stage of the cross applied subjectively for the Lord to gain the room in our being. And some dear saints, I say in a general way, they just don't have the light, the spiritual understanding. They may define themselves backwards in religious humility. Oh, I'm just learning to deal with the conscience. No, that is not the cutting edge. The cutting edge. You're not in elementary school. You're early in high school now. So they don't have the spiritual understanding, but the intrinsic problem is this. And I have to say, it's a problem with all of us. But the sisters especially have a problem with this. And that is not being willing to be touched. See, in the human growth and development, the adolescents, young adults, they need care that children don't need. But generally, you don't need major surgery. You don't need some kind of intervention. Because that's all that's happening is that the person is growing. But in our situation, it's not like that. Because when we get into middle age, we may think it's clear sailing after this. It's not. Because according to the natural human life, other things will start growing until we die. The self, the disposition, the peculiarity, the opinions, they grow. They grow. That's why Brother Lee, in outlining the problems at different stages, he said when you are young, the problem is ambition. When you're middle age, you think you're a hero because you survived so many things. When you're elderly, when you're older, it's opinion. So here's the thing. By our natural life, disposition is hardening. Peculiarity is flourishing. These are growing like tumors in us. If we have light and we have a vision of the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution, and are willing to receive the cross, then the Lord will have a way to operate on the frustrating factors. But if we do not have light, and if we are not willing to be touched, the growth in life stops, and the other things grow. And I cannot serve you faithfully in love without presenting a fuller picture. And when Brother Lee ministered on disposition, then on peculiarity, I didn't know what to do. I was unhappy with God. I said, disposition is absolutely by birth. I bear no responsibility for it. Now you're holding me responsible for my disposition that you created in the first place. So one day I was doing something really non-spiritual. I was doing lap swimming for my health. So I got to the end of a lane and I needed to breathe, and the verse came. Shall the thing formed say to the thing who formed it, why have you made me thus? So I got not only defeated, I got a little subdued. But the Lord covered me to say, I really took in Brother Lee's ministry in the perfecting training on peculiarity and the self, and in other messages on disposition. And the Lord gave me a divine desperation. I must be shepherded through these. I must. It was at that point that I called Brother Lee and asked to see him. And I knew exactly what I was going to ask him for. So I went there, he received me, we sat down. It was really brief because Brother Lee went right to the matter. He said, what did you want to fellowship? I said, Brother Lee, will you touch my disposition? And then he said three things and it was over. Not the touching, but the fellowship. Brother, the Lord will gain us. Not the Lord will gain you. The Lord will gain us.
All right.
Number two, we work together. In other words, I'll have opportunity. Number three, surely I will do it. And he did. He did. The Lord did what only he can do. But I realized I not only need the Lord. I need, in this case, Brother Lee. You're the one who brought the matter to light. You know my situation. I need you, brother. I need you to touch me. Having passed through these crises, I now am not only full of hope, I am full of faith for all of us.
Amen.
For all of us.
Amen.
To get through any hindrance of any kind in our being, that slowing down or causing to stop the growth in life. But there are two things we need. If I just tell you one, because that was what was emphasized in a general way in the message, I'm not faithful to you. I'm like a doctor that doesn't give you an honest diagnosis and then recommend the treatment and give you a placebo and allow you to be misled. The basic thing we need on the positive side is to present ourselves to the Lord day by day as an open vessel, as much as we can, and to pray simply but yet actively. Lord, thank you for today. I am praying that you will strengthen me and make your home in my heart. Work yourself into me. Grow in me. Dispense yourself into me. Mingle yourself with me. This is the day-by-day thing. But I am reasonably certain that we and you, you all need something else. You need someone to help you. You need someone. It's not just one person. We need certain gifted members who are the evangelists to help us to do the work of an evangelist. We need the shepherd teachers to help us in this. If we are willing to receive the perfecting through mending in love, this will work alongside with God's direct work and his work in the environment. And we'll make it through. Then we'll be in the stage of maturation, getting filled, and the end will be glorious. But most of my generation that I'm familiar with, they're either not here or they're stuck. And they're not only stuck, but they're untouchable. If you try to touch them, you just see what happens. So in the church, we can't do that. I'm not suggesting, and I don't want to give ground to the enemy to torment you, that if we go somewhere for a weekend, it's just going to be endless major surgery on everybody. It's not going to be like that. As we're coming together, opening to the Lord, we want to go on.
Amen.
We want to be enlightened. We want to be supplied. And then the Lord will direct us.
Amen.
Okay, maybe one other comment, and I believe that will be sufficient. There is a brother that might have been in this area. Came up to me 3 or 4 years ago. He'd been gone for a long time. 25, 30 years. He'd been gone. And the Lord shepherded him back. And now he's really back. And I somewhat realized how the enemy's going to work on him. So I followed Brother Nee's example to point him to Joel chapter 2. The Lord says, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Okay. Don't cry for lost time. Don't accept the lie of the enemy that it's too late for you. Because you disallowed the Lord too many times. You wasted too many opportunities. Now you're this old. You probably only have this much time. Do the math. It doesn't equal out. I have the assurance that everyone in this room has the time to reach maturity.
Amen.
Before the end.
Amen.
Because our living God is able to work in time, far beyond our calculation.
Amen.
He's able to do a lot in a month. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he can do a lot in a day. Amen. Besides, we're in the stage of intensification.
Amen.
That doesn't mean just sevenfold burning, sevenfold eyes looking at you. It means sevenfold organic salvation.
Amen.
Sevenfold growth in life.
Amen.
So, I'm just opening my heart. I just leave to you and I leave to the brothers. If we go anywhere from here. But something came out in the second part of message 6. In the Memorial Day conference. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard that or saw the video. Our brother Minoru could not speak the assigned message. So at the end, Brother Ed and I needed to fill in. And in the second part, there was a burden for this age group that we would have the oil in our vessel.
Amen.
That if we don't get raptured, by the way, I'm not giving up the hope for rapture yet.
Amen.
I'm not settling for death just yet.
Amen.
I'm still hanging in there.
Amen.
For rapture. Huh? First fruits.
Amen.
Why just resign yourself to the grave?
Amen.
Let us live in Song of Songs chapter 8.
Amen.
When I see you outside the flesh, I will kiss you.
Amen.
I want to be raptured to you.
Amen.
So these are just some considerations. I think maybe we should just pray. Probably just go on our way.
Amen.
Just any number of us, just pray short prayers responding to this.
Amen.
And let's just all be open to the Lord.
Amen.
Because we appreciate the young. We appreciate the young adults.
Yes.
We appreciate those in early middle age. But the weight, but the real responsibility, and the real ministry of life is with our age group. And not theirs.
Amen.
The best is ahead.
Amen.
I'm 74. I'm not looking back. I don't envy the youth, the young ones, their youth. I wouldn't want to be 50 again. I hope I can be in my 90s and say, when I was that young fella of 74 in the Bay Area, this was my situation.
Amen.
Now I'm mature. I'm full of hope.
Amen.
We've got a glorious future. The best is ahead.
Amen.
Let's let the Lord do what's in His heart.
Amen.
So let's pray and ask Him.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen
do what's in your heart.
Amen.
For all of us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, we need you as our shepherd, Lord.
Amen.
Through this stage.
Amen.